Hello?
Tommy.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, good to hear Mr. Vogel's voice.
Yeah.
That was very good. You know, you've brought me a long way. When I first started listening to you and actually Mr. Vogel, I was a guy singing in a bar. And, you know, just having a good time. And now I'm sitting here with my kids in my house and you know, thinking about all those cool things that went on. One of my best or funnest memories was the show When You Said Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one well.
I remember you got in a little trouble for that one.
A little bit, but not much. Amazingly, amazingly little amount of trouble for that. Not a memo in the box. There did happen to be the unusual circumstance of Mr. Hubbard driving around that night listening. And of course it must have thrown him, what with the great reputation of Hubbard Broadcasting, to hear a guy on the air who simply is refusing to speak for 2 hours. I don't think they had that before, and it did throw him a little bit, but, that was okay. Everything worked out, you know.
Absolutely fabulous. And then the other thing was, is the, somebody I hope calls in tonight, somebody who I met, in the late 80s, I think you know who I'm talking about, and I penned him as one of the most put-together, calm and just at peace individuals I've ever met, Mr. Sam Hawk. I only met him for probably half an hour in my home as he did some furniture repair for me, and instantly recognized his voice when I heard him 10 years later.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of great memories of Sam calling over the years. In fact, he was, I think I met him because I was curious about some of the furniture repair work he was doing, and gave him an old wooden rocking chair that just needed a little repair work on the leg, and always felt a little odd about asking when I could get that back, because I knew he operated on what he called Indian time, and thus thought, well, we'll just see how these Indians do things and find out when I get that thing back. Well, the years went by. It's about five years later, it came back fixed, and I use it to this day. It's in great shape, but again, when I dropped it off, I had no idea that that's how it would work out. The leg was repaired, and it was returned five years later. That's a hell of a rocking chair, though.
Absolutely fabulous. Yeah. So I had the honor of meeting Mr. Vogel when I did some sound work when Mike Kopic was back at the station for the state fair, and you were nowhere to be found. You wouldn't show up at the fair.
Nope.
You just thought us common folk weren't to be dealt with, I guess.
You could argue it that way, or just that I was somebody who didn't get in this business because of a great love of entertaining people live. One of the beautiful things of this medium is there's no sense whatsoever of it having anything to do with live theater or television. It's its own thing, and if this attracts you, then you get into this business, and if they try to make it live theater, you rebel. If they try to make it television, you rebel. It is what it is. It's radio. It isn't going out in public and being on a stage with a bunch of people. That's something else. That's a concert or something at the Guthrie. It's not getting makeup on your face and getting out in front of the camera. That's television. It's radio. And radio should always stay radio. And that's what I believed in, and that's what I fought for.
Absolutely. I just had to ask that last Renegade call. For a while there, I thought you were talking about Mr. Mike Veck.
Yeah, it was very, very close to what he would have today if someone let him have his way. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's been great.
Bye-bye. Hello.
Tom.
Yeah.
Gary in Farmington.
Oh, good old Gary.
The two most memorable calls I think I ever had, or one of them was a call and one of them wasn't, when we heard the National Hooty Hoo thing, and you said, you're never going to let us call again if you're lying to us. See you. That was when Clyde was there yet.
Will you see, Jason, if in the library you see anything under Paul Harvey National Hooty Hoo Day in the library?
That was a good one.
Yeah.
And then there was another time that, actually, you were, I just got into my bed. It was a little before 10 o'clock, and you were calling me on the radio trying to get a hold of me. When your brother and you and I moved that storage shed over to your house?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I just happened to turn on the radio, and you were calling me.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
Yeah.
To listen and to hear the phone ringing, and it's ringing at your house. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was first calling Vogel as the Phantom Caller, I thought maybe he might enjoy a new theme song. So I put together a theme song with Michael Lunan of the Looney Bin Band.
Yeah.
And sent it in. And one day I was listening to Vogel, and he said, "Well, we're going to play a song that we think we're going to use as our theme song." It was sent in by Tom Mischke, and I almost fainted. Seriously, I almost fainted hearing my first and last name over the airwaves.
Yep.
I had never heard that in my life, and it was an electric shock hearing that. I was stunned.
You're not expecting it at all.
And I didn't. I didn't know what to do. I just sort of froze in the room. And that was just my name being mentioned. So I can't imagine what various listeners have felt over the years with all the different shenanigans that have gone on here that have involved them.
But you know, I'm kind of excited about this.
The change?
Yes.
Okay, good. Glad somebody is.
I'm very excited about it.
Oh, great, Gary. I know in the past when the show has moved ever later, it's pretty much... It got to the point where sort of messed with your bedtime and you didn't always get to catch the show. And so I can understand maybe how a little earlier.
We start listening to it, but, you know.
And fall asleep.
I get up at 6 in the morning,
yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's a problem. I know my mom's happier. She says generally the first minute and a half, and then she's out cold.
Yeah. Well, I promise when you start up on the 3rd or the 4th, whatever day it is, depending on whether I'll call you from my favorite place when we were there tonight.
Favorite place.
Mary and I were sitting by our campfire out in our yard.
Ah.
Enjoying the evening.
What a glorious bucolic setting there you have in Farmington, and I'll look forward to that call. Thanks,
Gary.
I'll
talk to you in about a week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night, Tommy.
Good night. Taker Fred, let's just take you right away and see what's on your mind. God bless you. And
hi, Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. you didn't give me my lead-in music tonight.
I thought I'd throw you a curveball just to see what happens when you don't get your theme.
Yeah, but...
Are you thrown?
Well, tonight was extremely important to have that lead-in because I just saw a dead man walking.
How was it, Fred?
Well, it was a very good... I'd say it was a very good picture in total. Have you seen it?
No, Fred, I haven't.
Okay, it was a good picture. It was pretty much... It had good redeeming influence as far as the people that go into these kinds of dastardly crimes. The outcropping of it was excellent. And the fact that the fellow had the chance to obtain salvation because he knew his death was imminent. All of those things enter into that picture. And that's extremely important tonight that you play that because it gives a good lead in. We just saw the movie Dead Man Walking.
You did?
Yeah. And I wasn't on before, I know, there because I usually have my wife checking in on everything I do. Except she didn't know I was out to Shantytown the other day, but I told her about it after, so it was okay. But I did want to say that movie was very good, but another one I saw recently was Mr. Holland's Opus, and that's an excellent film. I thought that would receive more...
Does anyone get fried in the electric chair in that particular movie?
No, but the guy gets sort of worn out as far as his school job. But
is there a lot of violence in Mr. Holland's Opus?
No. Mr. Holland's Opus is a film that would be good for anybody to see, especially people that are in the
I saw Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead.
You ever seen that?
No, no.
Same deal, basically. Dead people walk there, too, but it's in a mall.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people walking around today, they seem to be almost dead. I don't know if you've ever... Have you ever been acquainted with Scientology?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard.
He's my stepfather.
Oh, yeah. They didn't want to ever admit that fellow had died, you know, they had a chair.
He's dead?
Well, I think he's dead. But,
they did a good job.
Yeah, down there on the 10th and Hennepin, they had a, Scientology was down there, and they had a vacant chair there for any time that he might come in and visit. But I was down in that building once, and the guys walking around there were like a bunch of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a zombie is.
You ever been to a Mooney party?
A Mooney party?
No.
No? Oh, those things. Oh, I, golly, but... No, but these guys, I mean, a lot of them, you know, they walk around like they're not with the program at all.
Mm-hmm. Closest thing we get to a Mooney gathering around here is when KQ does one of those, you know, huge mass wedding deals at the Mall of America.
Oh, man.
Closest thing we get to the Mooney stuff.
Yeah, I haven't gone to any of that, but I did enjoy
What's
those.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever done, Fred?
The weirdest
in
thing?
Your life.
Boy, you're really getting down to the nitty-gritty there, but I don't know the weirdest thing. I guess when I was a young kid, I lived right, you know, spent the summers out here at Lake Minnetonka. And my boyfriend and I, we went over under the bridge at Forest Lake Bridge.
The terminology you're using at this point has me feeling we should just stop this story right now.
No.
All right.
No. Not going to be that bad, Tommy. We actually tasted our own urine out of a little acorn. You know, the little top of the acorn cap that comes off. Could have been an astronaut, actually. But one day I will be.